Welcome to the world of sleep. We all need a good night's sleep to be at our best. This guide has been produced to support parents and carers, as we know that many of you may have difficulties getting your children to sleep, but also struggle to get the amount of sleep that you need. When we have children, we expect there to be some disrupted nights. Unfortunately, for some families, the sleepless nights can continue for months and even years. What we often don't realise is how common sleep issues are. What we do know is that sleep is extremely important to support children's development, both physically and mentally. Establishing good sleep patterns can help children to meet their full potential. There are many reasons why a child may experience sleep difficulties. Some of these may be out of your control, such as pain management or trauma. Others you can monitor and adjust, such as screen usage and the bedroom environment. In this book, we'll share our top advice to help you and your child get good quality restorative sleep. But more importantly than that, we'll also tell you why you should do these things, explaining the science behind it all and how it impacts on other areas of well-being, such as mental health. With this knowledge and understanding, you'll feel more confident about making necessary changes. The good news is that using a behavioural approach to sleep can be highly effective. In an independent evaluation of our work, youngsters enjoyed an additional 2.5 hours of sleep per night after parents and carers followed our advice. More than 4 in 10 children will have a sleep difficulty at some point. This figure shoots up to more than 80% when a child has a special educational need or disability, SEND. If you are struggling with your child's sleep, you are not alone. Everyone has issues with their sleep at some point. The trick is discovering what is causing the difficulties and then putting in place the appropriate strategies. Chapter 1, The Importance of Sleep. Why does sleep matter? We all know that we feel better when we've had a good night's sleep. It helps our bodies to rest and repair. Sleep plays a vital role in our well-being. Here are some facts that you may not know. Sleep helps youngsters to grow. Hormones are released during the night that support growth. Body tissue repairs during sleep. Many top sports people have sleep coaches. A hormone is released during sleep that regulates appetite. A good night's sleep helps youngsters to concentrate better and to consolidate learning. Immune systems are stronger when we are well rested. We feel less anxious when we've had an adequate sleep. Beauty sleep is a real thing. Research has proven that we look better after a good kip. Hyperactivity is one of the most common symptoms of sleep deprivation that the sleep charity sees in youngsters. If your child appears not to need much sleep, do not despair. The strategies we discuss may still help. Families often report that their child just does not need a lot of sleep and is always on the go. They also tell us that they have tried everything and nothing works. We completely understand. It is helpful to know that hyperactivity can be a symptom of sleep deprivation, so please do not give up hope of getting a good night's sleep. Your sleep. When your child has sleep issues, it impacts negatively on your sleep. Lack of sleep will make it harder to concentrate and remember important things. During sleep, your brain is processing all the information you've received throughout the day, forming memories and keeping it for later. If you drive and are tired, your reaction times are slower, increasing the risk of an accident. One study has shown that sleep deprivation has a bigger impact on reaction times while driving than alcohol consumption. It's vitally important to address the sleep issues in your life. Lack of sleep can also make it difficult for you to work, impacting on your finances. Relationship issues are common too when families are sleep deprived. Our mood can be lowered when exhausted, and there are close links with sleep deprivation and depression. You may find that you are more irritable and anxious. Making decisions can be a challenge. Dealing with a child who is up during the night can really test your patience, and you may be snappier than usual, or you may remove boundaries you've put in place to pacify them. This is all normal and because you're worn out. Making changes to your child's sleep can seem too difficult when you are exhausted. We do understand. The key is to understand why the sleep issues are occurring and identify appropriate strategies to try. You can try one thing at a time, as and when you feel able to implement a change. If you try to do too much at once, it can feel too hard and you may give up. Be kind to yourself. Remember, sleep deprivation is used as a form of torture because it's highly effective. Where to begin? You may feel overwhelmed by sleep issues and don't know where to begin, or you may believe you've tried everything and there's no point continuing to read this guide. Our aim is to empower you with sleep information and education so that you can identify strategies that will help you to cope better. Improving your child's sleep will in turn improve your sleep. We will guide you through the science behind sleep and help you to identify why your child may have sleep issues so that you can then decide what action to take to improve your family's lives. What happens if I don't make changes? Sleep issues very rarely resolve without some form of intervention. The likelihood is that if you don't make some changes, they could continue for a long period of time, even into adulthood, or even worsen. Changing sleep habits is hard. It takes determination, and you must be absolutely consistent in your approach. We will explore with you the kind of changes you could consider making that will have a positive impact. Remember, sleep is essential to your physical, emotional, and mental well-being, and for that of your child, yet it often goes unrecognized. It has even been said that you could survive for three times as long without food as one could without sleep. Chapter 2, Understanding Sleep. It's important to understand a little bit about the science so that you can begin to identify why your child may have some difficulties. Firstly, you should remind yourself that we are all individuals and our sleep needs are also very personal to us. Try not to compare your child's sleep needs to that of other children. The key to a good night's sleep is working out their individual needs and putting strategies in place to meet these effectively. First, for the bad news. You cannot control sleep. So when you tell your child to just go to sleep, they literally can't. Think about it another way. If I ordered you to go to sleep right now and your reward would be £1 million, could you? It would be highly unlikely, even though you would love the money and you are probably feeling somewhat tired. The good news is that there are things that can be controlled that will help your child to fall asleep more easily. More about these later. Stages of sleep. There are four stages of sleep that everyone goes through several times each night. These are made up of two types of sleep, REM sleep and non-REM sleep. Non-REM sleep is made up of three stages. This is the restful and restorative sleep where your body is being repaired. Non-REM sleep lowers muscle tone, body temperature, heart rate and blood pressure. Stage N1 is when you experience light sleep, when you're nodding off but can be easily woken by a slight sound or movement. If you stay with your child until they nod off and then attempt to leave too early, they will wake up during this stage. Stage N2 is a deeper sleep. You are still aware of your surroundings, but if left undisturbed, you will continue to stage N3. Stage N3, slow wave sleep, is when you're in a deep sleep and you may find it difficult to awaken. This is a stage where you can carry young children to bed and they won't wake up. REM, rapid eye movement sleep, is where the body switches off, the brain receives extra blood and processes a day's event. This sleep consolidates learning and helps develop social and emotional abilities. In REM sleep, you dream, and during this period of your sleep, your body is deeply relaxed. Some children may experience night terrors or sleepwalking as they move through different stages of sleep. These usually happen in the early part of the night. You can find out more about these in Chapter 3. The diagram below is called a hypnogram and shows the different stages of sleep that we've discussed. When we move between stages, we experience what we call a partial awakening. Often we're not aware of these and roll over, continuing to snooze. If anything has changed, however, that's when we wake up. Children who have not learned to self-settle may wake fully at these points too. For example, if your child needs you to be with them at the start of the night so that they can fall asleep, when they partially awake, they're much more likely to fully wake because you've disappeared. You have become their sleep association. They need you there to get back to sleep. Moving a child into a different environment can also cause them to fully awaken during the night. For example, if a child goes to sleep in the car or downstairs and you carry them to bed when asleep, when there is a partial awakening, they're more likely to completely wake up, just as you would if you found that you'd been transported to another room during the night. Did you know that your child is more likely to wake if conditions have changed while they've been asleep? If they fall asleep with the landing light on and you switch it off when you go to bed, this may trigger awakening. Or if you've invested in a product that provides light and sound and switches off, this too could cause them to wake. The key thing to learn from this is that conditions should be consistent all the way through the night for you to reduce the chances of them waking once they've nodded off. The importance of light and dark. We all have an internal body clock that runs roughly on a 24-hour cycle called the circadian rhythm. Light and darkness helps to regulate our body clock so that we go to sleep and wake up on the same schedule. Darkness helps us to produce the hormone melatonin, which makes us sleepy at bedtime. Exposure to natural daylight helps us to suppress melatonin and feel more awake. Sometimes children's body clocks can go off track, for example, when changing the clocks from winter to summertime. The body clock can run slightly longer than 24 hours in some people, those who go to bed early and wake up too early, and in others slightly less, people who go to bed late and sleep well into the morning. To some extent, whether you're a night owl or a lark is genetically programmed. Youngsters who are night owls are alert in the evening and like having lions. Wherever, larks are up early and prefer having an early night. If you are a parent of a teen, it's vital to know that they are biologically more likely to produce the sleep hormone melatonin later at night, meaning they don't feel sleepy until the early hours. For a period of time, this shifts their natural circadian rhythm, making it out of sync. This means they may struggle with falling asleep at an appropriate hour, needing lengthy lie-ins at the weekend, and find it harder to wake up in the morning. In addition to the circadian rhythm, sleep is also regulated by the sleep-wake homeostasis. This tells you when you're tired and when you need to rest. You build up a need for sleep during the day, and then when bedtime comes, you are tired and ready to rest. Think of it like a battery. In the morning, after a good night's sleep, your battery is fully charged. As the day goes on, your battery depletes. If you have a nap, that will charge up a little more. The timing and duration of naps are important. Parents tend to knock off naps when they have a poor sleeper. Naps, however, are vital for children in the early years. They just need to be well timed. It is, in fact, more difficult to get a sleep-deprived child to sleep at night than a well-rested child. Having a consistent routine, including a regular sleep-wake time, can help to support your child's natural circadian rhythm. Here are a few top tips. Darken the environment in the hour before bed to support your child to nod off more easily. Avoid screens in the hour before bed too. Open the curtains first on waking and let the light flood in. Try to factor in 30 minutes outside each morning if possible. You only need 4 minutes of daylight to stop producing melatonin. Close the curtains in summertime in the evening to create a darkened environment. How much sleep should my child be having? As we've already said, each child is an individual and sleep needs can vary. The following guide information is from a book by Lynn Quinn and gives an approximate guide. The most important thing to note here is whether your child is showing signs of sleep deprivation when trying to work out their ideal number of hours snoozing. Sleep diaries. If you're worried about your child's sleep, keeping a sleep diary may be helpful. Sleep diaries can help you to find reasons why your child is not sleeping. It is important that you log everything for at least 2 weeks to see if any patterns emerge. You can also share the sleep diary with any professionals that are involved with your child, such as your health visitor, GP, or family support worker. Top tips for keeping a sleep diary. Always keep it by your bed and record any activity immediately or you're likely to forget. If your child sleeps elsewhere, such as grandparents or with a non-resident parent, ask them to keep the sleep diary too. Mark on the diary which these nights are so it's clear when they're in different sleep environments. Complete the sleep diary accurately. Record every time they wake up. If you need more space, you can photocopy the diary to enlarge it. Try to keep the diary at a time when life is typical. Avoid holidays such as Christmas time. You can create your own sleep diary and make it as creative as you'd like, or download our pre-made sleep diary. What do the results mean? When you've completed the diary for 2 weeks, it's time to review the information for any patterns. Important things to note are the length of time it takes for the child to nod off at the start of the night. If it's more than 30 minutes, this needs to be a focus and may indicate that they need a slightly later bedtime. Once your child is asleep, do they wake up during the night? If so, can you identify a reason for this? Has anything changed since they went to bed? Think about the light, noise, whether you usually stay with them. Daytime naps and whether they're appropriate for their age, and if they are too early or too late. Too early could mean that they are sleep deprived and need more nighttime sleep. If they have a nap too late in the day, it can impact on their sleep drive and they may not be as tired when it comes to bedtime. The time your child wakes in the morning should be consistent throughout the week, including weekends, to strengthen their circadian rhythm. Likewise, the time your child falls to sleep should be the same. Routine is key when it comes to sleep and keeping the body clock on track. The amount of sleep your child is get in each night can now be calculated by using the sleep diaries. Sharing this information with a professional can be useful. Sometimes it's hard to identify sleep issues. If you're worried, you should be getting support as soon as possible. Now that you have some of the basics around sleep physiology, we are going to move on to look at common reasons that children experience sleep issue. Chapter 3, Causes of Sleep Issues. There is always a reason for sleep issues. The key to overcoming them is finding the reason and then applying the appropriate strategy. The strategy also needs to be implemented consistently over a period of several weeks to be effective. The bad news is that sleep issues often get worse before they get better as children resist new strategies. This is a key point where you need to remain consistent in your approach. A word of warning, there can be many reasons a child has sleep issues. Taking time to consider these is important, otherwise you will simply choose strategies that aren't useful and feel frustrated that the issue hasn't improved. Here are the most common problems that we encounter for you to consider. Sleep associations. Most of us have sleep associations, things we need in place to have a great night's sleep. For example, some people need a certain pillow or background noise playing or covering up, even if it's very warm. Children also have sleep associations, and if these can't be maintained through the night, they're likely to wake up. Common ones that we see: needing a parent next to them to fall asleep, using a dummy, having a landing light on, the television, lullaby show playing, and there are many more. If a sleep association is not in place consistently throughout the night, your child is more likely to wake up after a sleep cycle. For example, if a lullaby show turns off after 30 minutes, when your child partially awakes, the sound and light conditions have changed, which may trigger them to fully awaken. They will find it easier to nod off if you put the lullaby show back on. The ideal solution is to teach them to sleep without this playing so that they don't awaken during the night. It's a good idea to think carefully about how they fall asleep and whether there are any sleep associations involved that aren't being maintained. Lack of routine. Is there a routine in place? Many families give up on routines because they believe they don't work. But did you know that by doing the same thing at the same time each night helps to strengthen the circadian rhythm? Anxiety and worries. Separation anxiety can be a huge issue for little ones, causing them to feel upset at bedtime. As children get older, it may be that they worry about school, exams, or relationships. Sleep deprivation can also increase anxiety, making it more difficult to nod off at nighttime. Food and drink. Did you know your diet may impact on your nighttime sleep? Sometimes we give our children a sugar caffeine rush before bed without even realising it. Hot chocolate and a biscuit is a terrible sleep combination. We have some great sleepy food ideas coming up for you in the next chapter. Screen time. It may not go down well in your household, but using screens such as televisions, games consoles, and mobile phones is not advisable in the hour leading up to bedtime. The blue light the screens give off is similar to sunlight and sends a signal to the brain to stop producing melatonin. You may consider using a blue light filter screen to help, but it's important to remember that we advise screen avoidance right before bedtime, not just because of the blue light, but because the screen and content are usually visually stimulating. According to some research, using screens before you go to bed can double the length of time it takes to fall asleep. Room temperature. If your child is too hot or too cold, it will impact on their sleep. We often tend to make the sleeping environment warmer than needed, thinking this might help our child, when in fact a cooler room will aid better sleep. Ideally, the room should be around 16 to 18 degrees. Noise. Some children are particularly noise sensitive, and it may be that the clicking on and off of the heating, for example, is enough to wake them up. White noise can work well to mask out background noise. You can buy white noise machines that can be left on throughout the night. Light. Consider whether the light in the room changes during the night. If your child is used to going to sleep in complete darkness, it may be that you need to invest in heavy line curtains or blackout blinds if they begin to wake early in the summer. Overstimulating bedrooms. We have seen some amazing bedrooms over the years with disco lights, murals on the wall, and piled high with toys. Whilst these look fantastic, they are not ideal for a good night's sleep. Ideally, the bedroom should be screen-free, decorated in calming, neutral colours, and anything that may be more appealing than nodding off should be covered over or put away. pain and medication. If your child is in pain, it will impact on their sleep and you should seek advice from a medical professional if you are concerned. It's also worth checking if any medication they are taking may be impacting on their sleep. Nightmares, night terrors. These often get confused but are very different. A nightmare is a frightening dream and the child will wake up fully and take comfort from you. It's important to give them reassurance as they can be extremely scary. In younger children, they can't always distinguish between what is real and what isn't, so don't be quick to say it isn't real. However, don't reinforce the nightmare. There is no need to look under bed for monsters as they don't exist, remember? A night terror usually happens at the start of the night and the child may appear to be awake but is still asleep. As the name suggests, they look terrified. They will not take comfort from you as they are still asleep. You need to wait until the terror passes. They will then usually continue sleeping. They can be linked with sleep deprivation and increased temperatures, so try to keep the room cool. If you're worried about night terrors, do seek medical advice. Children with SEND. Research shows that youngsters with SEND are more likely to have a sleep issue. There can be many reasons for this, including those that we have already covered. In addition, some research suggests that youngsters with a diagnosis of autism may not produce enough melatonin. There is also research suggesting that children with ADHD may release melatonin later at night. Medication used to treat ADHD can also have a negative impact on sleep if administered too late in the day. The good news is that these youngsters can also respond positively to using a behavioural approach to sleep, and the strategies that we suggest should be tried before resorting to sleep medication. Bedtime resistance is a common issue, with some youngsters finding it difficult to understand and follow a routine. They may resist ending their favourite activities, and bedtime can quickly turn into battle time. Visual and hearing impairments can both make complete darkness extremely disorientated. Other youngsters may have sensory processing difficulties, which impacts on their sleep. They may, for example, be particularly noise, touch or light sensitive. Using a behavioural approach for these children is recommended as the first line of intervention, and therefore the strategies that we cover can still be applied. You should, however, ensure your child's paediatrician is aware of the sleep difficulties to rule out any underlying medical sleep disorders. In this chapter, we have covered some of the more common factors that could be contributing to your child's sleep issues, but there are others too. Keeping a sleep diary will help identify any patterns so that you can identify the right action. Chapter 4, sleep strategies. Now that you understand the basics of sleep and the kind of things that contribute to sleep issues, we will consider ideas that you can try at home. This is sometimes referred to as sleep hygiene. Routine is essential. Everybody benefits from having a routine in the run-up to bedtime, especially parents and carers. For something to become routine, it needs to be repeated a number of times and the same thing to be done at the same time each day. It can help your child to understand what to expect. Here are some tips to help establish a good routine for your child. The bedtime routine should begin an hour before sleep time. Use the sleep diary to find the average time that your child falls asleep and use that as a starting point. For example, if they fall asleep at 9:30 p.m, begin the routine at 8:30 p.m. with the aim being to get them into bed for 9:30 p.m. Once they achieve this successfully for 3 nights, shift the whole routine forward by 15 minutes. So the routine begins at 8:15 p.m. and the sleep time becomes 9:15 p.m. until you get to a bedtime that is suitable. Remember to wake your child up at the same time each morning too, even on weekends. Turn off all screens in the hour before bed. Remember what we said earlier about how the blue light reduces the sleepy hormone melatonin. Choose calming things to do. Anything that uses fine motor skills can be very relaxing, such as jigsaws, colouring in and craft activities. Consider introducing a supper time. Slow releasing carbohydrates are great for keeping little tummies full. Dairy products are also very calming at night time. Avoid anything sugar loaded or containing caffeine. Dim the lights and close the curtains during this time to help the body to produce melatonin. Try to do the same thing at the same time each night. This will help the body prepare for relaxation and sleep. For example, pajamas on, toothbrush in, toilet. If your child likes having a bath, then schedule it in at least half an hour before sleep time. This will increase their body temperature. It's the drop in body temperature following the bath that can help them to fall asleep more easily. Ideal bedroom environment. A restful bedroom environment is important when addressing sleep. We all fall to sleep more easily when we're in a comfortable, safe and secure setting. It is now time to think about your child's sleep environment and to see if there are any changes you can make. An ideal sleeping space needs to be free from distractions, quiet, dark, clutter-free and cool. Invest in a thermometer to check the temperature is consistently between 16 and 18 degrees. Choose suitable curtains to darken the environment. Blackout blinds can be particularly helpful in the summer months. If your child needs some light to help them fall asleep, that's fine. Just make sure it can be safely left on all night. A quiet room can encourage better sleep. Check what noises can be heard from your child's room. White noise machines can mask background noise, which can also be useful, especially if there are external environmental sounds you can't control, such as busy roads, railways, or noisy neighbours. Think about the decor in the child's room. A room with brightly coloured walls won't help your child to get a good night's sleep. Instead, you should try opting for more neutral colours. Are there any posters that may appear to be frightening when the lights are off? It is important to consider whether your child's bed is comfortable. The age at which a child is ready to move out of a cot into a bed varies, but is generally between 18 months and 3 years. A cot bed or smaller scale starter bed may help initially to make the transition into a single bed. Parents should aim to change the child's bed or mattress at significant growth periods. This may require several bed changes. For example, a teenager who's suddenly shot up to 6 foot plus needs a bed that will enable their feet to stay on the mattress and not hang over the end. The right mattress is vital as it must provide the correct support for growing bones and muscles. That means sufficient support to hold the spine in correct alignment and sufficient comfortable layers to cradle the body's contours. Consider whether the pillows need changing. Comfort is key when it comes to sleep. Eliminate electronic devices from the bedroom. If this isn't possible, try to separate areas of the bedroom for sleep and play. It's important that children and teens know that the bed is a place for rest. If you have children sharing a bedroom, consider how you adjust the environment to suit both of their needs. As children get older, you can involve them in planning their bedroom design so that they have ownership of it. Exercise. Exercise can help your child sleep, but not if carried out too close to bedtime. Don't try to wear them out just before bed, as it can have the opposite effect with the release of adrenaline and feel-good endorphins. Exercise doesn't always mean playing sporting activities. Playing outside or going for a walk can be helpful. Aim for your child to get some exercise each day, but best avoided in the 2 to 3 hours before bed. Supper time snacks. Caffeine can influence how long it takes you to fall asleep, how long you sleep for, and the quality of your sleep. Caffeine is also hidden in lots of products that we might associate with bedtime, such as hot chocolate. It's best to avoid them in the evening before bed. Did you know the half-life of caffeine is around 5 hours? That means it takes 5 hours for just half of the caffeine you've consumed to leave your body. Check the sugar content of supper time snacks such as cereals too, and remember, even fruit has natural sugars, so it should be consumed in moderation. We've talked about the need to avoid caffeine and sweet treats too close to bedtime, but adding in a small evening snack of certain foods can really help aid sleep. Snacks like low sugar cereal, milk, bananas, cherries and even cheese are all good choices during the hour before bed. Stick to drinking milk or water. Sleepy foods consisting of almonds, bananas, oatmeal, cherries, sugar-free cereal and turkey. We now have a genuine excuse for that post-Christmas dinner nap, as well as anything dairy. It's a myth that cheese gives you nightmares. These foods either contain natural melatonin or tryptophan, an amino acid that promotes sleep. It is worth noting more research needs to be done around this area. Bad dreams blame the cheese. This is a myth thought to have come from the classic Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, where Scrooge blames seeing the three ghosts on eating a mouldy piece of cheese. Hunger can be a cause of early waking, so adding a supper time snack into the routine can be helpful for some children. Some youngsters rely on a bottle or breast to fall asleep. We are not talking about infants here, but older children who nutritionally do not need a nighttime feed. Feeding babies during the night is important, and it's biologically typical and healthy for them to wake in the night. Sleep associations can, however, occur with feeding to sleep in older children. They may awaken during the night and only nod back off if fed. If this is an issue, you should discuss with your health visitor for advice around the number of feeds needed and gradually reducing these in line with your child's nutritional needs. Anxiety. Many children get anxious at bedtime. Separation anxiety can be particularly distressing for both parent and child. Make sure you offer your child lots of reassurance. You could give them a special item to look after for you overnight. This may help them to understand that you are going to return. Photographs of family members in the bedroom may give children some comfort too. Youngsters may be fearful of sleep. Adults often use language around going to sleep when discussing death. For example, the pet hamster has gone to sleep. Some children may find it helpful to have a visual timetable showing a picture of them going to bed, one of them asleep and another of them waking up, so they can be reassured by the full cycle. If a child is fearful of the dark, you can introduce a softly glowing nightlight that can be safely left on all night. You may also wish to read stories to normalise this, such as The Owl Who Was Afraid of the Dark by Jill Tomlinson. Older children may find it helpful to be introduced to some simple relaxation and mindfulness techniques, such as mindfulness. Notice 5 things you can see. Notice 4 things you can feel. Notice 3 things you can hear. Notice 2 things you can smell. Notice 1 thing you can taste. If you're concerned about your child's anxiety levels, you should always discuss this with a professional. Breathe in bed, encourage your child to focus on their breath going in and out. Experience each breath and pay attention to how this makes them feel. You could encourage them to try the 7-11 breathing exercise. This is where you breathe in deeply, counting to 7, then breathe out slowly to the count of 11. Repeating this for a few minutes can help you feel calm and relaxed and can help you avoid being consumed by negative thoughts. This can also be a very useful technique that you can try if you feel stressed while still dealing with your child during the night. Needing a parent to fall asleep. Some families make the choice to co-sleep, which if done safely is fine. Other families find they co-sleep out of necessity rather than choice, and we want to support to stop this. If your child needs you to settle at the start of the night, you may want to try the gradual retreat method to encourage them to settle without you. The idea is that you gradually move yourself a little further away from them every 3 nights once they are settling well. If you currently lay in bed with them as they fall asleep, you could try sitting by the side of the bed. If they engage in conversations, tell them it's nighttime, go to sleep. You must remember that if they wake in the night, you will have to repeat this process as they currently can't settle without you there. Remember the sleep associations where you are more likely one of them. Starting a sleep plan. It's a good idea to identify 2 weeks that you can dedicate to implementing your sleep plan. It's best to avoid times when life may be disrupted due to holidays or for older youngsters, exams. You need to commit to carrying out the plan consistently. Expect that sleep patterns may get worse before they get better as your child resists a new routine. Some families take leave from work. Others get support from family members to give them the opportunity to catch up on rest during the day. Consider how you will manage during this period and how many changes you realistically have the capacity to make at once. Not appearing to be tired. If a child hasn't built up enough of sleep drive, they will not be able to fall asleep at night. Use sleep diaries to check how much sleep they are getting and whether sleep time needs to be adjusted. Some parents are simply putting children to bed far too early and having unrealistic expectations of the amount of sleep that is needed. You should also check nap times and that they are well scheduled in youngsters who still need them. A nap too late in the day will impact on bedtime. In addition to this, check for signs of sleep deprivation. It could be that your child appears active at nighttime, but this is actually a symptom of chronic sleep deprivation. Are they able to wake easily in the morning? Are they concentrating and attentive during the day? Do they yawn, rub their eyes? Making bedtime positive. Bedtime often becomes part of the day that families dread. It is key that bedtime becomes positive again for you and your child. Here are some simple tips to help promote a more enjoyable bedtime in your home. Point out the things that are going well during the routine and praise your child for them, such as, I love the way you put your toys away. Well done. Try to ignore the negatives where possible. Give rewards that motivate your child, such as a sticker or a point on a reward chart. Never take these away or put negatives such as a sad face on the chart. Select activities to carry out in the routine that you know will keep your child engaged. You could think about their favourite TV characters and search for jigsaws or download colouring sheets online featuring them. Give your child a choice of 2 activities so they feel they still have some control. end the day positively by sharing five happy things that have taken place. We are not saying it's going to be easy because we know how challenging changing sleep patterns can be, but these tips will hopefully help you and your child to get a better sleep. Chapter 5, when to ask for help. It's important to inform a healthcare practitioner if you're worried about your child's sleep. This is particularly important if you notice any unusual movements during sleep or breathing patterns. You could mention this to your GP or health visitor. Some children may need referring to a sleep clinic within a local hospital if medical issues are suspected to be causing the problems. Keeping a sleep diary to show them could be useful too. You should also mention the sleep issues to your child's education setting, as it will no doubt be impacting on their daytime behaviour. Here are a range of resources that you may find useful too. The Teen Sleep Hub, National Sleep Helpline, Allergy UK, Bed Advice UK, Anna Freud, Calm, Anxiety UK, Eric, the Children's Bowel and Bladder Charity, Headspace, Asthma and Lung UK, Mind, Mental Health Foundation, Support Line, National Bullying Helpline, The Lullaby Trust, National Eczema Society, Young Minds, Samaritans. Our partnership with the sleep charity aims to help everyone enjoy a better night's sleep. That's why I'm proud to support not only our customers with practical top tips and helpful advice, but also our colleagues by providing dedicated sleep training delivered by sleep professionals, including Professor Jason Ellis, Professor of Sleep Science at Northumbria University. By supporting this ebook, we are creating a helpful learning experience where both parents and children alike are able to learn about the importance of a good night's sleep. Laura York, Community Charity Manager, Dunelm.